Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
The bad guy is about to win. Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday, and in my opinion, everything I'm about to say is absolutely true. And I say it's my opinion. Some of this is my experience with Bobby Petrino. And I've said there was a day when Bobby Petrino could just spin gold, man. Play sheet, he looked down there, it's like, hey, it's all right answers. Even with a quarterback that Rich Rodriguez looked at and was like, yeah, I had nothing really to do with you. Bobby Petrino's like, I can do something with him. And so hit the high water mark day after Thanksgiving, 2011. Numbers 1, 2, and 3, not in the SEC West. 1, 2, and 3 in America. LSU, Arkansas, Alabama. Later that afternoon, LSU beat Arkansas like a rented mule. And then they had a Sugar Bowl experience. And so that was like the coming out of the tunnel that day, running onto the field to play LSU and a potential shot at, I don't know, number one in America, SEC championship game, this, that, and the third. Running out of the tunnel that day in Baton Rouge. That was the high water mark. And it's rare that there is something so clearly defined as that was when it was great. Well, that also is probably the last time it really was great for Bobby Petrino. And there were some other moments hither and yon. But for the most part, if you go back to that morning, November of 11, that was the high cotton, man. And a really good team. And then LSU just dumped a sack of bricks on him. So when I say the bad guy's about to win, I've told you Petrino is on a circling for carry-on tour. He's on a follow the dead tour, and I don't mean Grateful Dead, like the people who would get in a van and, you know, do what they did. The soon-to-be-fired tour. And I've told you, I said it before the season. He got it right in College Station. I was like, I think Jimbo's going to get fired. Issue is, Petrino doesn't have any experience out there. He doesn't have any sort of hands-on that he doesn't have anybody who one person in the room who can go, guys, if we'll all remember, they all remember, but none of them will say it. And then one person may, well, there's nobody in College Station that, guys, if you'll remember what Petrino did for us, they're like, no, he's never been here. And he sounds a whole lot like Jimbo, and that's how, you know, we're getting rid of him. So he was right about the overall situation, but I was skeptical it would turn out for him. But he took a chance, and coaching at College Station is better than coaching at UNLV. So everybody's out with the bathwater just about in College Station. And Petrino, he does sort of the smart thing. He goes back far enough on his personal resume until there's at least one person in the room who says, why don't we just remember some of the good stuff too? And so now he's the OC at another school where the head coach is about to get fired. At least that's my opinion. When I say the bad guy's about to win, Petrino is the bad guy. I mean, my opinion of him is unhinge his jaw, swallow bird eggs. Like, I think that's what he can do. But when it comes to laying hands on the offense and suddenly it's yards and points aplenty, he has some of that on his resume. And I can't say that he's a bad coach. He hasn't had signature outcomes recently. But he's not, I can't say he's a bad coach. I'm saying that we haven't seen his fastball in a minute. And when you have Lamar Jackson, like, I don't know. I think I could call some plays that work with Lamar Jackson in college in the ACC. And by the way, go look at their record. What did they do? Well, how many did they lose, like, 5 games 1 year with Lamar? I think I could call some plays that work with Lamar, I think. But he called them better, and he won, and Lamar got a Heisman, and all that stuff happened. But, I mean, there are a lot of right plays. Look down on the play sheet, and Lamar's your quarterback. You're like, hey, there's another play that works. Well, there's no Lamar Jackson in Fayetteville, and they did have a spring game this past Saturday. My gosh, half the conference had a spring game. If you've got the pluses, you got to see almost half the conference. No, wait a minute, Chuck. You said half the conference. Why would I only see almost half? Are we aware that Kentucky decided nobody gets to see anything? We're not streaming it. It's not on TV. We'll have photos with, like, numbers redacted. Like, they don't want anybody to see anything from spring practice. So, except for Kentucky, we had half the conference, and you could see them if you cared enough, all the others. And Arkansas was one of them. And if you did watch the Arkansas spring game, you saw the key to why I think the bad guy is about to win. Here's the truth. The offense this coming season, it's going to be better. And there are always those reservations that now it's sports, so we don't know for sure. And you have to give every arm's length sort of disclaimer possible that now, based on all available, no, I don't have to do that here. The offense last year, you lost a conference game at home where you gave up 7. Okay, so let's go back to my state. The offense is going to be better this year. It absolutely will. And Talen Green, the QB transfer from Boise, that kid can play. And I mean dual threat, and it's not just because of the spring game. In fact, it's not even to do with the spring game. It's the spring game with Bobby Petrino and this kid. And the 4% that I think we can take from this, folks, this is going to work. Team-wise, get to that in a second. Offense, Talen Green, who has 3 more years, Talen Green and Bobby Petrino, those two human beings, they will work together to produce yards and points. So file that away. Link them two. And when I say he can play, I mean Talen Green as a dual threat, as an RPO-heavy, flip the field with him having the ball in his hands. Last year at Boise, you know the best thing you can do? I've always said this. Sunday coaches meeting, the first thing, all right, what do we do about this kid? Well, in fact, he was, what do we do about 10? Who's 10? Well, hang on, let me look. Talen Green. Is Talen, is that how you say it? Talen? Yeah, that's how you say it. What do we do about 10? That would be because Talen Green last year not only put up huge numbers through the air, and when I say huge numbers, I mean as a dual threat who got hurt and didn't play full time, etc. Like, he played about half the time. And then you had a 5-star transfer from USC, and he's like, new locales and all of that. I mean, it's all happening. He was leaving first. His OC's like, there's all kinds of layers to the onion here. But the kid can play. And in particular, last year, running the football, he put on a display. And they played some good opponents. They played Washington. They played UCF. They played Memphis. Played UNLV in the conference championship game. He had 8 carries for 90 yards and 2 touchdowns, including a 70-yarder. So on a team where they had a 1,300-yard lead tailback and the guy running second team averaging about 6 yards a carry, who went for nearly 800 on his own, Talen Green ran for 9 touchdowns and about 450 on his own. So, yes, all of this is going to work, promise you. And Saturday, this is why, like, Talen Green hadn't even, I guess, been declared the starter yet. He wasn't declared. You have to come up, and we talked about this on Thursday or Friday when we previewed Arkansas, that you have everybody, like, you still have to, quote, win the job. And when I say, quote, like, you have to show up, and it's going to become clear that this big, giant 19-year-old who's already played, yeah, he's going to be the guy. You have to show every, and so, all right, well, now he's the starter. You can say that now. Here's how I knew at the beginning of the game, not only the plays that he and who he was working with and everything else, but he walks out there, everybody on defense wearing white, white jerseys, white pants. Everybody on offense wearing red jerseys, white pants. Talen, head to toe in black. Black jersey, black pants. He taped up his cleats, black cleats. Nobody hit Talen. We all understand that, right? Nobody hit this kid. I'm surprised he didn't have a black helmet on. Then the season starts. And this specifically is why Sam Pittman is going to kind of coach his way into getting fired, because they're not good enough to win a lot of games. But he's going to try, and given that Pittman knows he's 51% fired already, he's not holding back with Talen then, not one bit. Not when the season starts. Spring game, stay away from Talen. We're gonna, gun towers and a fence around Talen. Bubble wrap, oven mitts. Then the season begins. When the season starts, I think, folks, you check out the quarterback 4-deep. And in many situations, even with a player, the skill set of Talen Green, the thought that takes over is, and if you look at the Arkansas, you'll see this, no depth, cannot risk getting him hurt. We've all seen that. Got nothing behind him, so even though that's part of his game, change the play sheet, we can't do it. Because if he gets hurt, yeah, no, not in Fayetteville this year. Pittman's idea is to stay employed. And I know what Bobby Petrino's idea is. Get the job after Pittman gets whacked the beginning of November. The path is offense is way, way better. Defense is such a challenge. And my gosh, look at that schedule. That though we are still losing, it's not the OC's fault. And he gets to be head coach now. And folks, last year I said the job will be open. I don't know if he'll get it. I don't think he will. I think this works. I think Petrino has succeeded, and after Saturday, I'm like, said, give me to the window, all right? I'm putting a Franklin on this happening. He went back far enough on his personal resume to find some place where there was at least one, and then when nothing happens after a little while of just existing in that environment, there's another person who will say, well, no, he's okay. Like, it's a slow bleed, it's an eyedropper, and then you look around and everybody's happy, and, well, the offense is rolling, but, man, that schedule got us, and we didn't recruit good enough. But the offense is really good, and he and Talen work so well together, and, look, we want Talen Green to stay. This, to me, this is 2+2, and I think it works. This is like a former boxer, and the champ, finally, nowhere else that remembers and kind of smiles. Where does the former heavyweight champ go? Where does he finally move? Las Vegas. The last place where there's a friendly something or other that at least some folks, and he can kind of hopefully build out from there. Las Vegas. That's Petrino here. So the defense, yeah, the defense, it may not be bad. But Arkansas, Mississippi State, I've talked about, like, Vanderbilt, their season stinks every year. The challenge, I'm saying, is a Mount Rushmore every year anyway. Adding Oklahoma and Texas, meh. Mississippi State, and Arkansas, those are two programs I've talked about. This thing just got a lot more difficult. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, jump into it on a Monday.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Monday on the Chuck Oliver Show, and we had a bunch of SEC spring games. We had a bunch of spring games everywhere, and a lot of folks are wrapping up. Some people didn't. They still have a spring game coming up. Next two Saturdays, you will still find some stragglers. Absolutely, there will be spring games. There's spring games in May every year, I think. Trying to think, did Dan Mullen in Florida have a there's a spring game or two in May. It just kind of turns out every year, but bunch of them yesterday, and we got a full up day recapping some of that stuff, looking ahead. on the Chuck Oliver Show today. Duncan Newsmaker line coming up in about, 15 minutes from now. Josh Ward, Josh and Swain on the Sports Animal there in Knoxville. So we'll have Josh on, talk a little Nico and Heupel, and they wrapped up, and Nico was just a fabulous, fabulous quarterback. Drew DeArmond, our BFF from 97.7. He's the morning drive yonder in Huntsville, and we will talk a little Alabama. There's a kid, a receiver, that, and they're supposed to all be of note, but there's one kid that we're going to pay attention to. He was fourth string at Washington. You're like, well, fourth string, how excited are we going to get about that? Well, the first three were pretty good, and they're all going to be getting game checks from the NFL in a few months. So we've got a kid to talk about that just kind of showed out, and part of it is, and it's way down the list priorities, but when the wide receiver walks on the field and he looks around and he was like, of every skill position here, I know this offense best. It's an advantage. Now, when I say it's way down the list, because he still has to defeat a defensive back who never knows what the route is. So at least he can give the defensive back the biggest challenge possible on some of the combos or whatever it's supposed to be. He knows a little bit more and speaks the language a little clearer, and everybody else is going to be just fine. But right now, they've got a kid that kind of showed out, and he had knowledge. Palmer Tom's going to join us from Dogs HQ on the Duncan Newsmaker line. That's an on-3 thing. That's going to be bottom of hour two. Georgia and Kirby, they wanted to get after it a little bit. And there were all kinds of varying, I'll say efforts at spring game. Brian Day, for instance, he's playing games himself. Like, and I'm saying he's playing the game, at least. The only one a coach plays in April now. Lane Kiffin, he got a lot of attention. And he got a lot of eyeballs. And I'm not saying they got a lot of attention. So, yeah, I guess he was just beating pots and pans together. No. Nope. Lane had an idea of a different way to do this. And it really worked for Lane. But Lane came up with a different way to approach the spring game, and I don't know if he'll ever do it again, but they got some positive eyeballs on him. But I told you, Mark Stoops, I can't tell you a whole lot because he just didn't want to do much and didn't want to show you anything. And let me take that back. He didn't want to do – Mark Stoops, the head coach at Kentucky, he really didn't want anyone to eyeball very much. Limited attendance, obviously, and no attendance on TV because it wasn't anywhere. So all kinds of different approaches. Ryan Day, when I say he's playing games, in 2024, you're not going to actually, in most cases, you're not going to play anything resembling a real game in the spring. But you play the roster game. You play the transfer, the portal, specifically with quarterbacks because there's so few of them on your roster. You play the game with the quarterbacks. And Ryan Day, in my opinion, Ryan Day's playing the game. If you didn't see him after Saturday and they ran around and did some stuff in C-Bus and they looked like Ohio State players. All of them looked like Ohio State players. After the game, Ryan Day, I just don't know who my starting quarterback is. My goodness, this will have to go into summer and then we'll see y'all in August. All right, bye. Yeah, okay. Here's what I believe. When you go into the portal and you bring in a kid who's like 6'5", 225, and he started for 2 years, and there's name, image, likeness and all this, now you say that doesn't matter, the better kid's going to play. You're right about that. On April 13th, Will Howard was the starter. And that's why he went there, and he didn't do anything to lose it. Now, they've got the rough and tumble backup, Devin Brown, and I don't know what number he's going to wear this year, but maybe he still wears the kind of odd-looking jersey, and he has a package. I was going to say he slams into the line of scrimmage. He has a package of plays. There's a profile of a situation where go get him in there, number 33 or whatever, 22, whatever his number was. So, like, they're going to do those things. Then they got Julian Sayin. And, by the way, let's go back. Will Howard's the starter. Then they have Julian Sayin, who's a five-star, who already has shown – do you know the unique situation Julian Sayin's in right now? If we go back and go Google your computer, y'all remember CC Sabathia? CC Sabathia has the oddity of leading both the American League and National League in shutouts in the same season. Only pitcher to ever do that. Julian Sand is somehow the number one ranked recruit in Alabama's class and the highest ranked transfer out of the program. And all that happened within about 3 weeks. Showed up on campus, said, all right, where's the 200 hall? And 3 weeks later, saying out. So that kid has already shown things aren't working out for Julian. I may not hang around. And he is in the choir. I promise you, nothing unique about him. But he's shown you he's already willing to do that. Things don't go the way he was thinking. This is not what I had planned. I thought I was going to. By the way, for a quarterback to get Kalen DeBoer in place of Tommy Rees, that's a win. And he's like, nah, Julian don't like that. So he transfers out. If you're dealing with Tommy Rees and then Nick Saban, who, I mean, he's the head coach and what he says goes, but I never saw anything about Julian. Yeah, I never saw Nick Saban in the photos of him and Tua drilling down with film. Not his role. It's Tommy Rees's role. You went from him to Kalen DeBoer, and your response was out. It's got a lot of company, by the way. Portal, whew, open. But he got in there because the coaching changed, and he's like, I'm going to land in the C-bus, and so he's part of the program now, and Ryan Day has to play the game. That's what I think. And then there's a couple of freshmen as well. So, I mean, it's not anything specific about Ryan Day, but in this case, we all know how this better turn out. I promise you, there are freshmen who earn jobs. There are generational kids. There aren't many of them who show up and can control an offense like Chip Kelly's going to run in C-Bus with those talented athletes around them. Hi, I've only played high school football. This other grown man's played a bunch of college, but I beat him out because I'm so great. No, that ain't the scenario, brah. Where Ryan Day really doesn't start Will Howard, it's because something goes really bad with Will Howard. And that has not happened. So he's playing the game that he needs to play right now. But let's just all acknowledge, breaking news right here on the Chuck Oliver Show, Will Howard's a starter. And Chip Kelly's going to be happy with that, and so is everybody else. And I think it'll hum like a top.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
To the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football. Chuck Oliver Show, 9 states and 60 sticks. I appreciate the blessing, folks. I turn on the light, room gets bright because it's college football, food in the cabinet. Been doing it for 10 years, and so, again, I appreciate everybody listening every day. In Josh Heupel's offense, there are cheap yards, and that is not meant to be any sort of slight, exact opposite. Biggest compliment I can give. I think it's kind of the purpose of a lot of what he does is to create opportunities where there's cheap yards. And when I say cheap yards, I mean a secondary with fat tongue who says, you know what, I can't get all the way out to the number this time, but I'll just play that Richard Sherman coverage. And all of a sudden the ball's out there and you got a guy in space, speed in space. Or you try to undercut and take the wrong angle, and then there's a shot play. Like, I'm telling you, Heupel does that better than maybe anybody in America, getting those cheap yards. tempo, not subbing at receiver. It creates some of those ops. All right, big question. Can the redshirt freshman pull that off? Big deal. Like, that is the big question. I want to welcome on right now. Let's talk Tennessee and the spring game from Josh and Swain on the Sports Animal yonder in Knoxville. It is Josh Ward. Josh, welcome. How you doing today, friend?
Chuck, doing great. Great to talk to you.
Let's talk spring game. How did Nico look with the tempo and the speed and the giddy up?
He looked good. He looked like he was comfortable running everything that you just talked about that you set up that Josh Heupel wants out of the offense. There is the obvious disclaimer of he knows he's not going to be tackled. He knows he's protected and everybody's not out there. But that also goes with his offensive line protection. So pressure was coming from Tennessee's defense because Tennessee's defensive line has an advantage against Tennessee's offensive line, probably even if it's at 100%. But your question is about Nico, and he looks like he's comfortable as the starter. He has a skill set that I think can allow Tennessee's offense to do more of what Josh Heupel wants to do, and that can be across the field. So going quickly, getting the ball out to the sideline, but also maybe working the middle of the field and having a better chance to hit down the field, because last year Tennessee struggled on deep plays. 2 years ago, the balls were as good as it got. Last year they had a tough time. They want to get back to being better down the field, and Saturday showed they might be able to do that.
Yeah, I called myself out last year, Josh, about midseason. Like, I kept, like, the first couple of weeks I was praising Heupel. I was like, boy, he's keeping those cards close to the vest. He's not calling all the big plays. And about midseason, I was like, I don't think he has confidence in Joe Mixon. I was like, he wasn't keeping his cards close to the vest. He didn't want to call the shot plays because he didn't know that they could pull them off. At some point, did you reach that realization that this is what it is? It ain't going to get better. It's not going to look like it did with Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, I had that thought for a couple reasons. Part of it was quarterback play in Joe Milton and what he was and was not able to do. He has the obvious arm strength. Nobody's questioning his ability to get the football down the field, but to get it down the field and connect and also understand when that shot is there or if he needs to tuck it. The Florida game is when I decided things are going to be different here because they struggled at times to protect Joe Milton in that game. They took a shot down the field. Pressure came from the interior of the Gators defensive line. They hit Milton, ball goes up in the air, and it's a turnover. If Tennessee was not going to have the same level of explosive threat for four quarters, and there was more risk within the offense as well, Josh Heupel was going to have to dial it back. So part of it was quarterback, part of it was offensive line play, and the offensive line has to prove what it can do, but it should be better than a year ago, and I think quarterback absolutely will be better than a year ago.
All right, Brew McCoy, where is that young man and his return?
Everything I hear is good, that he's ahead of the schedule or at least on pace by this point here in mid-April from where they thought he would be when he suffered the injury. He was not going to go through spring practice, didn't need it. A lot of veterans didn't go through spring practice, even if they were healthy, like center Cooper Mays. But, Brew, everything I hear is that he should be good to go. Will he be the same player? I mean, let's see him. I can't sit here and tell you that he will be that. But everything I hear comes with confidence about the return of Brew McCoy for August and September.
Continuing with Josh Ward. He is not from Knoxville Baptist. He's not a doctor. He's telling us, but he does talk sports. Josh and Swain, Sports Animal, there in Knoxville. Okay, let's talk about the offensive line. You'd mentioned that pressure. That was an injury thing against Florida, pressure up the middle with a different center in the game. They spent on the offensive line, and some of it was to retain, which was an interesting approach in name, image, likeness. They go to LSU and get the one big kid. Give me your eval of the offensive line and the pass protection, because they got a shot to be pretty good this year, I think.
Yeah, they do. They need to stay healthy on the offensive line. One of my questions coming out of the spring is the depth. If something happens to Cooper Mays again at center, we will again be asking, okay, who do they go to and how much confidence is there? So Cooper Mays back at center. Javonte Spraggins back for another year at right guard. He was held out this spring after he suffered a knee injury at the end of last season. They know what they're getting from Spraggins. Lance Hurd has all kinds of potential. He showed up as the transfer from LSU, looking like a guy that's 2 years away from being in the NFL. He still has to go out there and play at a high level and show that he can be a high-level starter in the SEC. But the potential of Lance Hurd at left tackle and John Campbell Jr., who is a seventh-year senior, Chuck, former Miami guy, played at Tennessee last year on the left side. He'll be the starting right tackle. Personnel-wise, Tennessee, I think, should rank in the top half pretty high in the SEC. Left guard's a big question. What do they have there? It might be a super senior in Jackson Lampley, who's played some. They have a young player that will compete for playing time there. But left guard's the real question, along with depth. If they suffer injuries on the offensive line, then Tennessee will have concerns this fall.
All right, go as far back as you can, the Tennessee secondary. And I have heard all offseason, all right, and now like middle of April now. So I've heard, man, going to be deeper, going to be more athletic, going to be way, way better. And I was like, well, it was big play central the past couple of years, so maybe. What's your assessment? Because I know they're counting on a couple of, like, early enrollee freshmen back there too.
You know, one thing that's funny here in the conversation around the secondary is when newcomer Chris Brazo, wide receiver, transfer from Tulane, they love him. When he makes a big play down the field, and All-American freshman Mike Matthews makes a big play down the field, we can also ask, okay, well, does that lead us to more questions about the secondary? Maybe. I think they like the new starting corners. Jermod McCoy is a transfer from Oregon State, played well last year as a freshman there. And then Ricky Gibson is a second-year player who strongly considered Georgia. Tennessee was able to land him in the 23 class. He's the other starting corner. And then you bring up freshman. Boo Carter is kind of a do-it-all guy. He could be on offense, and he would be a playmaker, but he's going to be – they're probably at the star position. He's going to push for a starting spot at nickel and also be a return man. He's a really athletic player. I think they have a chance to make more plays on defense. The fear will be, do they give up more plays, because they're still inexperienced there, corner. And if Boo Carter's playing nickel, he's inexperienced and could be beaten as well. Some of those plays that were given up, Josh Heupel said Saturday, yeah, guys made mistakes. We're out of position. So that'll be the question. Athletically, I think Tennessee feels pretty good about its top five to six guys in the secondary. Experience, and again, depth. If they suffer injuries, there are real questions about where they are at corner and safety.
All right. I don't know. I may be the only person outside the Tennessee fan base who said this. Princeton Fant was one of my favorite players back in 2022. I was like, folks, watch Tennessee. They do Percy Harvin stuff, but with this big, giant tight end. And then last year, Jacob Warren, wasn't it him they tried to do some of that stuff with? I love what Heupel wants to do with the tight end. Will he do that this year? Is it the kid from Notre Dame?
Yeah, Holden Stays, the transfer from Notre Dame, is a guy that they like a lot. They feel good about the position coming out of spring, maybe deeper than they thought even entering it, with the transfer from Alabama, transfer from Notre Dame. And then Ethan Davis is somebody that has the skill set to be a high-level player in the SEC. He was a four-star tight end in the 2023 class. He's battled injury. If he's available, then he's a guy that I think has playmaking ability as a receiver within the offense. And you're right about Princeton Fant. That's a kind of an underrated part of what Heupel was able to do in short yardage situations. He could carry the ball as a runner. He was a receiving threat, threw a touchdown during the season. It allowed Josh Heupel to get really creative. Running back is a question as well. If they can find somebody that can be an extra short yardage guy, that's something that would help this offense. But Holden Stays, I think, was a really important pickup. They needed to add a tight end because they lost Fant and Jacob Warren. McAllen Castles came in last year as a one-year transfer, was an athletic player in the offense. So it is a new look, completely new look, tight end group this year.
All right, one thing I've thrown a bone to Tennessee the past few seasons, I was like, folks, everybody just like passes on returning kicks now. I was like, Tennessee emphasizes, they'll put starters, like all SEC receiver back there, go return that kick, Bayless Jones. What's that going to look like this year? Because I think it's a missed opportunity for almost every team.
Yeah, Tennessee had a threat in D. Williams last year, was a really good return man, and he's gone. Carter is the player to watch to me. He's the freshman I mentioned with the secondary that is just a terrific athlete, one of the top athletes in the country in this 24 class, and he went through spring practice. So he's a guy to pay attention to. If he were like a slot guy at wide receiver, we would be talking about ways they can get him the football because he would be an open space guy. That's why he will be somebody to watch in the return game. Cameron Seldon could be that in kickoff return as well, but he's a reason they have concern at running back. He has a shoulder injury, is not expected to be available at the start of the season, so I don't think all year he'll factor in the return game. That makes somebody like Boo Carter even more important there. But given the opportunity, Josh Heupel will look for Boo Carter to try to make plays in special teams.
All right, last thing, and this is just your personal opinion. Josh Heupel, limited attendance at the spring game. You think you care much about that? Or is he like most coaches? Spring game.
I think some truth serum he'd probably be in favor of it. He did credit the fans that were there, that were able to be there, and the scene around Neyland Stadium. I'm sure he loves that because they had a lot of fans that came out for the video screens, and they had a little concert and all that stuff. But No, I think Josh Heupel is in the group of a lot of coaches that they look at practice number 15, that spring game, as something to try to get in and get out of as quickly as possible. And obviously, number one, as healthy as possible.
Josh Ward, dealing it out. Josh and Swain, that's on the Sports Animal in Knoxville. Thanks for your time, buddy. I appreciate you coming on today.
Always fun. Thanks, Chuck.
Fantastic stuff you'll get from them in Knoxville. So, limited attendance because they've got all kinds of yellow tape and orange barrels and whatever else you would have there. I don't know, sawhorses. I had a buddy of mine in all, when I was in college, Auburn, and I don't know how it was on your campus, but I don't even know what the physical plant was. I still don't know what the physical plant was. It sounds like really important stuff going on there, but there were these yellow pickup trucks and these white pickup trucks, and they had these stickers on the side said Auburn Physical Plant. They could park on the roof. And, oh, that's the physical plant. Buddy of mine realized those were just like the big metal things you put on the side of the car when you're driving to the game on Saturday that says go Western Kentucky or, you know, Roll Tide. And so got a couple of them and had a button he could push. Time to park near class. There you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and wrap up Hour 1 next.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Yeah, well, Kalen's a great coach, and I know there's been some disruptions based on, you know, me leaving, him coming, but he's going to do a great job. The players are in good hands, and I think they'll do a great job of recruiting, and probably need to get some guys out of the portal like everybody else at this time of year, but I'm excited for the future.
Nick Saban at the circus environment there. And they actually played some football, but circus environment just because it's Alabama football and it's a spring game. And Nick Saban in attendance, talking about the future, being excited with Kalen DeBoer. I think that's the proper response. It can't be as good as Nick Saban, but I had the only time I give talks all the time, man. You give me a check, I'll start talking about college football. And I talked to an Alabama group back in 2011. It was the week before the 2011 LSU game. And I not only said I thought they were going to lose that Saturday, and they did. So that started the, you know, kind of crossways looks. Somebody asked me, what do you think happens this Saturday night? And then what about the big picture with Nick Saban catching bear? Like, this was in 2011. We're going to beat LSU on Saturday night. And then what about Nick Saban having more national championships than Bear Bryant? And I was like, well, I think LSU gets the win Saturday. And so nobody cared about that. You know, why? They were, oh, you think we lose? And I said, and as far as getting more national championships than Bear Bryant, that certainly seemed difficult for him to do. And it turned into almost a vaudeville act, like people throwing fruit. And like, I mean, that's like basically what we were leaning towards. And then I regained, because he's going to get even more. And so I just went way over the top. Yeah. I will say, in that same vein of what's realistic and achievable for everyone who's human, and maybe Nick Saban isn't, maybe there's a faceplate. I don't know. Maybe there's a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible, and it is Vince Lombardi under there. For humans, more national championships, especially at just one school, doesn't seem, and all not, this is not Wisconsin Whitewater. This is not Mount Union. No disrespect. It's more difficult the higher you go in level, and especially in Alabama. So, yeah, well, easier at Alabama. No. It's got its own set of challenges. And so it's really not likely that he passes Nick Saban. Doesn't have to be a wildly successful head coach. if something would have happened and Clemson beats Alabama on that onside kick game out in the desert, and then something happens and, I don't know, was it Marcel Darius or Damian Square who tried to murder Colt McCoy that night? If that doesn't happen and the long, and by the way, they almost came all the way back. If the Longhorns actually, like, they're, Nick Saban's career wouldn't necessarily be different, like, at all if he had only, quotes, only four national championships. So he's excited for the future with Kalen DeBoer, and he should be. I think this is going to be a wildly successful venture, and it's, a lot of it's going to be the DNA that is of Kalen DeBoer. It's not just the recruiting. It's his system, his way, his process, use the word, his process. And there are a lot of challenges as well. One of them, maybe a little easier, Jeremy Bernard. And I think it's like a sort of pushed together version of Jeremy, but Jeremy Bernard, he may be the receiver who's going to emerge. I don't know if a newcomer emerges because he's new. You have to kind of be in the mix first. And if you show up in January in your first spring, suddenly you become the go-to guy. That's not emerging. That's showing up and taking the job. Emerging is like Kendrick Law. That's emerging. Jeremy Bernard had his day, and when I referenced earlier that there was a transfer receiver from Washington, it's this guy. And when you think that, well, he was the fourth guy in Washington, like, how good could he have been? The first three are all going to be NFL players in 2024. One of them is going to be a top 10 pick, maybe a top 7 pick. And the other one, that's Adunze. Jalen Polk could be a first rounder as well. They had a bunch of options. And then Jeremy Bernard. And he decided, I endorse this offense so much, I want to stay with the head coach. So when I talked about this earlier in the program, and I said, folks, it's way, way, way down the list of priorities. And what if you could choose, but you can't choose. It just kind of happens. The kid has to choose. But if you're a coach and you could choose who speaks your language, who can show up, and day one, this kid knows what he's doing. This one kid at a skill position, this kid really knows it. Hand in a glove, pages in a letter. Jeremy Bernard. Okay, you would rather that be the quarterback. You really would. Wide receiver is pretty good too, though. You'll take it. And it's great for the receiver. It's a tremendous arrangement for the kid. It's easy for him to stand out. He is always where he's supposed to be. He's at 12 yards. He's at 15. He's at 22. He's not there a half yard early or a yard late, and the ball hits him in the back of the head, or he never sees the ball because it's picked going the other way because he never turned around. That doesn't happen to Bernard, and it didn't the other day. In fact, the biggest play for Jalen Milroe, who, see, that's the guy who needs to get to the Bernard level of understanding and execution of the offense. The biggest play for Jalen Milroe, 52 yards, actually, crossing route. Pew. Now, I will say that Bernard may have made some contact, but he's a grown man veteran, so whatever. He knows what he's doing. Also, he's going against a secondary that lost maybe the first two corners off the board. I don't know that. The kid from, who was it, Quavon Mitchell? Isn't that the kid from Toledo? So, but maybe the first two corners off the board are Kool-Aid and Terrion Arnold. Maybe. And so, I mean, Alabama's got their own thing. We already talked about it earlier. When you're watching a spring game and offense makes a big play, you're like, yeah, all right, we're developing. Tennessee, Nico looks so good. Wait a minute. Is the secondary better or not? Mike Matthews is a five-star freshman who was not a physically overwhelming kid. He's about 6'1", 180. Five-star Fred. So he, I mean, looks like an athlete, but nothing. He's not, you know, Robotron. And he was making plays. And he did that in spring as well. And he did it in a game on Saturday. People are like, ooh, Mike Matthews. And some folks are like, is our secondary any better? Well, Alabama, you've got that same question. Well, Drew DeArmond on. I'm going to ask him, is the second, who's going to be the corner? And then who's going to be the other corner? And then who's going to be the third corner? Because Trey Amos left as well. And he was the guy I thought was going to start. Do we Google your computer. Go back to like July and August of 23. Google your computer. Alabama cornerback, Terry and Arnold, etc. Like him being the 11th overall pick, that wasn't really part of the equation. And that's what it became. So you're replacing two really, really outstanding kids at corner. And there's a deep pool. And some of them have played. And there's good coaching. And all of that will work itself out. But it does provide an opportunity. So we'll get all of that context next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.